Okay, welcome back. It's Wednesday, hour number three. Time for Erica Kahn to step back up with us, and we're going to work this hour to bring you up to date as much as we can on the latest from the biggest outrage in recorded human history, and it's only getting worse. We spent a lot of time on Monday, and I hope you did hear the program. If not, it's there in the archive on the right-hand side, talking about shedding and how crucially important that is. People are becoming sick. You heard our own David Oates was sick, and he says he's over it now. That's good. We also know that there are people who are not over it, and I mean having been shed upon, who have had hemorrhaging, who have had to have been transfused. We're talking about little girls, 10, 12 years old, and older males who have nosebleeds that won't quit, one of which apparently was fatal. So people who are getting shed upon actually are dying. This is happening. We don't know all of it. We only know what's reported or what appears on some of the social media pages. So it's very difficult to track all of this, but it's going on and it is getting worse. The people who have been vaxxed are now in the hospitals all over the place. These people are not suffering from COVID, whatever it is or isn't. They're suffering from the after effects, term effects of having been the recipient of the kill shot or shots. And if they didn't get them the first time around, if they got lucky and got maybe a saline shot or two or something else that wasn't so harsh, they're going to get them with the boosters. Count on it. Or they'll get them with the two pills a day that everyone who's received the Pfizer vaccine will now have to buy and take. Two pills a day. And they're talking about rolling it back to younger and younger children. And for all of you out there who are mothers, I don't think I have to tell you that the mothers who allow this to go on willingly, and I feel very sorry for them, are making the mistake of their lifetimes with their children. This is horrible. It's murder. There's no other way to phrase it. Erica, welcome back. Thanks for being here as always. How are you?
Thank you, Jeff. Good to be back.
This whole story is really rolling into, and I think this is why the rush, they want to get as many jabs in before the masses begin to wake up and see that the number of dead is astonishing. The number of permanently injured is astonishing. Because when that day happens, there may be an uprising. Maybe they are counting on that. I don't know. But it's going to have to get to that point to stop this. But by then, they hope to have done their dirty work and have everyone shot up, or at least enough of them shot up, to successfully transfect the innocent bystanders. And we're seeing that all the time. Anything new on your end in the regard of shedding per se?
It's just more of the same. We have a medley of things like brain fog, nausea, just feeling unwell, dizziness.
Yeah.
And then we have the more serious ones consisting of bleeding, spontaneous bleeding that simply will not quit. And the opposite of that, people forming clots, pathological clots.
Which often are, I believe, and I'm, again, I'm not the scientist here, Erica is, but I believe these microclots, which apparently begin almost immediately, will compound over time and turn into something of serious substance and something that will not go away. They just don't dissolve and go away. And I think some of these larger clots may well be the result of an avalanche, a cascade of microclots. I don't know. How does it work? Is that a reasonable possibility?
I think there's more than one mechanism at play. I mean, you've got the, you know, the foreign nanoparticles that are being injected, and those all by themselves can antagonize, you know, the clotting factors in the blood, antagonize the immune system to want to coagulate or wall it off.
Right.
Which progresses to platelet activation, and you get the whole pathological clotting cascade. But then mm-hmm. when some of these nanoparticles or the adenovirus infects your body's cells and your body's cells start to produce spike proteins, well, then there's a spike protein that's inducing the clotting, because the spike protein all by itself is biologically active. It can signal the whole clotting mechanism on its own. It can damage the endothelium. It can also dock onto the acetylcholine receptors, which is, that's involved in, you know, your neurological function. It can enter the brain. It can go to the heart, go to the kidneys, go to the liver, joints, bone marrow, all of that.
Okay, you mentioned neuropathy, that the spike can interfere with that. Now, I've had people mention to me that they believe that someone they know, or maybe even more than one person, has never been the same since they were shed upon. Not directly vaxxed, but shed upon by, and we assume that the spike protein is one of the active ingredients in that process. Are you seeing anything like that online in these social groups that you monitor about people's personalities having changed after having been shed upon?
Mostly what I'm hearing is, and these are people that take the time actually to write and make a comment,
yeah.
but, you know, they're reporting symptoms of their own. And it's just, you know, they're sick to the point of, you know, being not totally disabled, but not well. And, you know, they're typically working around people who have been vaxxed or living with other people who have been vaxxed. And every time they're around them, they get these symptoms. And even if they get away from these people, it takes a while for the symptoms to subside. And then the minute they're back in their presence, they're back having those symptoms immediately.
Could the symptoms compound? Let's say you don't have enough time away from those who are vaxxed to shake this stuff out, and you go back. Are we talking about a compounding effect over time, a dose-dependent
thing? Yeah, I think it is cumulative. You know, this protein appears to be difficult to break down at best. You know, you can neutralize it, which I think is what the ivermectin is doing. I think it's preventing the biological activity of that protein,
uh-huh.
somehow neutralizing it.
All right. Well, that would be encouraging. I hope so. I want to play a little short clip for all of you out there who might have missed it on Monday. This is MSNBC, and all of us know people who think MSNBC, CNBC, CNN, Fox are going to tell us the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Well, nothing could be further from the truth than that. Now, here's a little clip from MSNBC. What's this woman's name? Her last name is Ruhle. Stephanie Ruhle. Ruhle. What's in a name? All right, so Stephanie Ruhle claims unvaxxed people can just work from home and homeschool their children, that they're not being forced to get the vaccination. I don't know what world Stephanie lives in, but that's not the world that most American employees live in, those who have been mandated. They don't just go home and the money appears magically in their account every week or every 2 weeks. They go home with no money, no income, to homeschool their kids, to take care of their households, to make mortgage payments. So here's the arrogance of these are shills. These are not journalists. Understand that. They're readers, and they get carried away with their own self-importance. And I want you to hear this again. I want you to hear the arrogance. It's amazing. Now, she's interviewing someone named Gina Raimondo, R-A-I-M-O-N-D-O. She's the Secretary of Commerce. And listen to the garbage that this Raimondo woman puts out. It's astounding. I think you'll all hear it.
I'm puzzled by these people who continue to say they're forced to get vaccinated here. There's always been a choice. If you do not want to get vaccinated, you can work from home. You can homeschool your children. You can shop online. So where is this coming from? People saying, I'm now being forced to be vaccinated. We never forced vaccinations on kids in school. If you didn't want to vaccinate your kids, you could homeschool them. And people have done it for years.
You're exactly right. Nobody is being forced. In fact, if you don't get vaccinated, you just have to get tested on a weekly basis. But the reality is the science is crystal clear on this. Get it, get vaccinated. These vaccines are incredibly effective. They're effective, they are free, they work, and it's unacceptable. It is unacceptable now that people aren't getting vaccinated. We need our kids in schools. We need the schools open. We need people to get back to work. We need people flying on airplanes. We need people in restaurants. We have too many Americans still out of work. And this is a simple, effective shot in the arm, if you will, that our economy needs. And there's no reason not to get vaccinated at this point in time. That being said, you're not being forced. You can work from home. You can get tested on a weekly basis. So I just think this is just smart public policy and great leadership by the president.
Great leadership by the president. Can you believe what you just heard, Erica? Honestly,
this is it's appalling.
Yeah.
Work from home. So you're a cashier or a taxi driver. How are you going to work from home?
It's all incredible. And the lies. You wonder if this Gina Raimondo understands that she's playing an active role in mass murder, or if she's actually bought into the program. Could be either. Could be both. I don't know. But this is the kind of thing, for those of you out there who don't watch commercial television, that the average rank-and-file American is being exposed to around the clock. And they've bought into that. They've always trusted the TV and the government. And nothing could be further from worthy use of their time and their confidence.
It's just
awful. It is tragic. Absolutely tragic. Okay. We want to talk about a number of things tonight. And what do you want to start with? Anything in particular that you can remember? We've got an agenda here, and one of it, I think might bear repeating, that these online social platforms among the social media are actually quite easily corrupted, set up by the very people that we do not like, the very people who are pushing the agendas that are killing so many already around the world. It's not just happening here. These groups could easily be penetrated and controlled by AI, by shills in real time, and I think many of them are, frankly. I think many of them have been actually established with that in mind, to further control public opinion. It's too easy. Why not?
Yeah, they are infiltrated by shills and trolls, and at some point they're easy to spot, but for the unsuspecting or the naive, you know, they may not realize that they're being trolled.
It's time for them to wake up, or they're going to be dead. It's not going to work. And do you see the beginning of the wave of death now? Is that something you see yet out there?
It is happening more and more. I mean, I've seen a deterioration in the after effects. I mean, a lot of people are not recovering from those initial after effects, and then they tend to progress into more serious matters. The most recent one was a hearing loss and tinnitus group. Several people have reported that they're now experiencing muscle atrophy in their legs and arms. So it seems to be, you know, a neurological, it starts off as a neurological condition,
right,
perhaps in the brain or the ears, and it's becoming systemic over time.
So what happened with the one tinnitus case? Somebody's reporting it's moving around, it's changing?
No, this is somebody that had the vax early on and experienced tinnitus shortly thereafter. And has been dealing with the tinnitus, which you know, this isn't just a faint whistle or buzz. I mean, some of this is as loud as a car horn. I mean, it's loud, and it's almost unbearable. So this group is dedicated to people that have suffered from that side effect and, you know, various ways to remedy it, because the doctors aren't really offering much of anything. The steroids are not doing it. Some of them are forced to take anxiety medications just to, you know, not go crazy. But here we are 6-8 months later, and, you know, maybe the tinnitus has diminished a bit, only to be replaced by blurry vision, vertigo.
Neuropathic things too, correct?
Yeah, numbness and tingling in the arms and in the legs, and now just outright atrophy, which is... That's suggestive of something like ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease.
Here's another one. As far as the shedding goes with people, there, and I have seen this, and I've talked to people, and they are saying that there are long-term apparent neurological or personality changes, that the people aren't exactly the same. They notice something different about them. They're not as happy. They're not as spontaneous. They're different. So I don't know. And again, it's a dose-dependent thing. How much do you get? How many spike proteins? How much mRNA is put into your body? We don't really know. And it may well be that these people are also shedding adenovirus. Isn't that correct? If the adenovirus is not attenuated like they claim it is, it gets back into the body and it reactivates or regains its strength to replicate and leave the body. Wouldn't that be something else that could be shed, which in point of fact, if that's the case, might well set you on the road to becoming vaxxed, the way that
the adenovirus does it? The adenovirus, I mean, it starts off supposedly, if they've purified it properly in the manufacturing process, it should start out as replication incompetent, meaning it should not... produce a viable infection or productive infection. But what can happen is because a lot of people are carrying adenoviral infections latently, all that vaccine needs is to come into contact or in the presence of a native virus that you're carrying, and it can use the cellular machinery of that latent adenovirus that you're carrying and start to reproduce itself. And I'm pretty sure I think I did read that if there's a herpes virus present, it can use the machinery that a herpes virus has to begin replicating itself. So it's not such a stretch to go from not being able to replicate to being able to replicate and being a productive infection that can be passed to other people.
So I think we can honestly expand the little roster of things that are transmitted via shedding?
Yes.
Adenovirus, which is in the J&J and the AstraZeneca. We've got three things. We have mRNA, which is in the Pfizer and the Moderna, and then we have Spike. So we've got three things that I think are potentially on the table right there. Here's another one that we need to talk about. Briefly, the administration continues to show its cards, so to speak. The groups that have been exempted from getting the vaccines, all of Congress, plus all the congressional staff, House and the Senate, that's a lot of people. 6,000 White House employees, all exempted. 2,500 Pfizer employees exempted, 1,500 Moderna employees, and 120,000 Johnson & Johnson employees all exempted. 15,000 CDC, 14,000 FDA employees exempted. 8 million Chinese students in this country. 8 million. How many of them are PLA, CCP? 85, 90%. That's how many. I can tell you that. Exempted. Here's another one. 2 million illegal invaders. That's a little redundant, I know, but 2 million, that's what they call them, invaders. Exempted. They don't have to get the shot. Now, what is going on here? Now, let me throw another one in. This is going to be the cherry on top. At least 500,000 homeless tent and street people are exempted. So they, whoever's planning this, want these people to survive and to take a significant role in the numbers of potential survivors and those who are in the cities, 500,000 homeless and street people. And again, I'll repeat, some are there through no fault of their own. I get that. But many are completely at the bottom of the food chain, and they are not to be vaccinated. It's if the vaccine worked, which it doesn't, they would be protecting these people, but they're not. The vaccine is a failure. Now they're trying to say, oh, after 6 months, it doesn't produce enough spike protein. It seems to lose it. Is there any truth to that? Can there be any truth to that? That after 6 months, they stop? Hey, this is something that's genetically changed your body. So how can they say that?
I'm hearing both possibilities at this point. Either the spike protein does in fact fade, you know, people's production of the spike protein wanes over time, but right. I'm also hearing that it increases, and I haven't been able to verify that, but I've heard that from a couple sources at this point, that
I've heard
it actually increases over time.
I've heard it too. I don't know how a genetic change can actually reverse itself somehow, and your body just doesn't produce the spike proteins that it did after a few months. It makes no sense to me. What does make sense
well, not,
to me is...
Well, not everybody might be permanently, you know, transfected. In other words, it may not have resulted in a DNA change that would cause it to be produced indefinitely.
What did they say? How many different mRNA, lipid-covered, single-strand viruses are put into the body with each dose?
Oh, it's like 50 billion?
Trillion.
Trillion. It's, no, I think it was billion.
Trillion. Well, either one. I'll
a
trade
lot.
You. It doesn't matter. So for all of those not to function properly, and your body no longer really is genetically predisposed to producing spike protein, that's a little bit of a stretch for me. But we'll see. Okay. The other thing I wanted to bring up, I've got these in an order here. Excuse my coughing. It's a little bit smoky here again today. There's someone named Dr. Peter Daszak, who's back in the news today. This needs to be discussed, but before we get there, I want to go back to that truck accident, which nobody else talked about. We did. Nobody else talked about it. I ran the truck story. I ran the pictures. I'm sure there were some who did. I don't know any. And did the five docs talk about it? Do you know? You watched them.
No. Oh, no. No.
How can this not be? That's a front page headline story.
It should have been.
Tell our listeners what happened, approximately.
This took place in Virginia or West Virginia, and it was a delivery truck full of...
Tractor trailer is what it was. It was a big
one. Okay, tractor trailer. 1.2 million doses of Moderna vaccine destined for Ghana. It was on the way to Dulles Airport. And it went off the road and overturned and caused a mess. And a cleanup crew came to deal with the accident. But it wasn't your ordinary cleanup crew. There was a full-blown hazmat team, and they cordoned off the area, and they restricted the airspace. And it took them 21 hours to clean up this mess. But the question is, why the hazmat suits? And I mean, obviously they were concerned about something.
There was more. They put field biology labs up, too.
That's right. Yes, yes. So I'm not sure why that didn't make the news. They did try to cover it up, and then they finally admitted that it did happen, and they didn't offer much of an explanation as to why the airspace above it had been restricted.
Very strange.
But it makes you wonder.
Yeah, suggestive of some pretty nasty things out there. All right. Now, before we get to Daszak, I want to do this again just for fun. The breakthrough cases, in my view, are vaccine injury cases that have manifested to the extent that the people end up in the hospital. This is bad. So who is being protected from the vax, but not with the vax? Who's being protected from the vaccine? The unprotected, the unvaxxed. They're not being protected. And the people who get the vaccine, they're not protected either. So the whole thing is a farce. It's just a joke.
Well, they've essentially weaponized our fellow human beings.
They've turned them into bioweapons. Walking, talking bioweapons. No joke, no exaggeration. Absolutely not. All right. Tell us about Dr. Peter Daszak.
Well, that was a name that came up when Dr. David Martin was doing his research on all the patents and the funding and the gain-of-function testing in the Wuhan lab. And so Peter Daszak is a British fellow who heads up the Eco-Health Alliance. And
oh,
the Eco-Health
nice.
Alliance...
Sounds nice. Eco-Health. That's good.
...is basically... a money laundering operation, so that when money goes towards this Eco Health Alliance, which pretends to study pathogens and emerging viruses and possible pandemic outbreaks for, you know, the defense of the country, of course, or the population. So they claim to be a philanthropic organization of sorts. I believe they do get quite a bit of funding from Bill Gates. And they also get funding from the NIH. So the NIH sends money to the Eco Health Alliance, and the Eco Health Alliance turns around and sends it over to China. But of course, when people try to trace the money from, you know, where did the money from the NIH go? Mm-hmm. Of course, it didn't go to China. It went to this nice philanthropic organization called Eco Health Alliance. And it looks like they're doing beneficial things for humanity.
Sounds like I'd want to join, for sure. The Eco Health Alliance. Sounds great.
Now, and they did, the NIH did restrict or did suspend funding of this Eco Health Alliance in July of last year. And I think that was merely for keeping up appearances. And then they reinstated it in November. And now Peter Daszak from Eco Health Alliance has $82 million in funding to play with. For, I guess right now he has a grant for studying coronaviruses, Ebola, and Nipah virus.
$82
million. $82
million. What am I doing wrong?
But of course, that's just to understand how these pathogens work and to devise vaccines to protect us in case of
absolutely.
An outbreak.
mRNA vaccines, no doubt.
Right.
Here's, I'm going to play this again before I retire it. It's really important to listen to this 18-second clip. This is Herr Schwab 6 years ago, clearly revealing that he understood everything that was about to happen in the next 4 years, 5 years. He knew it all. And I think if you've heard this, it is well worth hearing it again.
The difference of this forced industrial revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you. If you take a genetic editing, just as an example, it's you who are changed. Yeah, and, of course, this has a big impact on your identity.
Gosh, Klaus, you think? Has a big. That's what I was saying earlier, when people are not the same, especially after being vaxxed. I've heard this many times now from people. They're not the same.
Yeah, that is a definite pattern if you've been vaxxed. I haven't heard it as much in the bystanders, so to speak, but definitely the vaxxed.
Well, we're watching it very, very closely for you. Now, there was also the strange Alexa information, which I think I'm going to play again because I'm going to take these down in a little while. And I did want to give them one more airing. So here's the Alexa shocker. She says, vaccines will cause a zombie-like apocalypse, COVID outbreak, at the end of 2021.
Alexa, when is the world going to end?
The world is going to end in 2021. The COVID-19 vaccine is going to take a dramatic turn. And the ones who took the vaccine will start a zombie apocalypse outbreak. Be prepared. Get stocked early so you can survive.
Okay, so there's, and I don't know if that's been changed yet, but there was another Alexa revelation several years ago that was quickly clipped out of the potential of Alexa to verbalize like that. So there you go. More warnings. They do put it all out there. It's there.
Yeah, if you want to see it.
All right. Now, one other thing, and I saw another example of this. People, these are vaxxed people, acting very strangely. Road rage, public brawls, big crowds. It's an odd thing. This is written by Susan Duclos. She makes some good points. As news of Afghanistan, vaccination mandates and restrictions, food shortages and more are dominating the news, some of which the mainstream media has reported on and other topics independent news has addressed, I've been noting an increasing number of stories of weird and strange behaviors. Road rage, where a guy throws a literal tomahawk and an axe at the windshield of another, public brawls, mind fogs, uncontrollable anger, and much more. Public lockdowns, the ruination of businesses deemed non-essential by state leaders, talk of mandated vaccines and vaccine passports, etc., seem to be pushing people finally to the extent that they're beginning to act out supreme anger and frustration. They don't know how to do it properly. They're just kind of flaring out. And I know all of you out there probably have known people or will know people who aren't the same after having gotten shot up. Anything you want to add to this? What are you seeing as you're monitoring this more than
one? Well, I saw one today. This woman says, I basically drive around for a living, and I'm telling you, there's something happening to people's minds in the last few weeks. It's unsettling. And the answer, I came across a theory that it's the vax, the spike protein crossing the blood-brain barrier, prions causing cognitive issues like aggression in Alzheimer's. Anybody that's flown on a plane lately can attest to what they're calling air rage now, where the behavior of passengers is bordering on, not just obnoxious, but...
I saw two stories where they had to duct tape passengers to seats in the plane.
Yeah.
Two.
Yeah, they're out of control.
So I don't know if that's fear of flying or they're just neurologically not the same. Something is really being done to them. And this goes
back
to
a lot of people that have had the vax and even the people that are getting shed on do complain of anxiety. I mean, to the point of, some of them cannot sleep. I mean, they're just wired. And if you're feeling like that and you're not getting any any relief, and you know, you're not able to get away from that feeling, and you're dealing with it 24/7, then you know you've got a short fuse.
With respect to talking to people who are acting out, how do we do that? How do you talk to somebody who's completely flipped out and lost it? You really don't, and hence, I guess, the duct tape. Actually,
well,
I saw
you, know,
you
it,
saw
it,
the
it,
video duct tape
oh,
to
yeah.
a seat.
Yeah. Yes. But if you think about it, you know, some forms of dementia do involve, you know, aggression. They're very belligerent. Yeah, it's almost like they've lost their ability for higher thinking or behavioral control.
All right, I'm queuing
something. So I would not be surprised if that's the beginning of what's coming.
All right. All right, here we go. This is a nurse who's going to talk about the lying in the hospitals. This is on the Stu Peters show. So let's see if we can get a little clip of this.
It's common knowledge around the staff that is aware of what's going on or paying attention or not in denial.
And the people that are bringing this to the attention of the doctors, it's falling on deaf ears. They're cut off mid-sentence. How many people that you work with, would you guess, percentage-wise, are going to refuse this shot?
So far, about 50%.
And are they going to be terminated?
When the mandates come to our facility, yes. As far as I'm aware.
So up to half of the people that work at your facility could be gone, and the only people that will suffer are those that need care. The only people that will suffer, I mean, other than you, of course, if you're fired because right. you have a religious or a medical exemption, none of that matters. Is what we're hearing consistently across the country. What is the one thing that you think is most important that the public is being lied to? Would you consider it to be the vaccine injuries? What, the floor is yours. I mean, just tell the world right now what the reality is from a frontline worker who has dealt with COVID patients from the beginning and still deal with this media craze, and you're seeing the truth firsthand. What do you want the entire world to know?
I want the world to stop watching the news. It is absolutely false. It is creating a false fear. I would go through COVID, the actual initial part of this, 10 times over easily compared to what I have seen with this vaccine rollout. The injuries and the loss of life and the loss of function. People are walking into the hospital with breathing issues, and a lot of these people are not going out. They're not leaving. People with normal levels of life that were actually caregivers to their family are coming in, and they're changed forever, and their family is now taking care of them. This is horrific. This vaccine rollout is a nightmare, and the media is completely not telling the public any truth to what is actually going on with these vaccines.
Doctors pushing this vaccine on the patients that are there?
Yes, and what's sad is the doctors are very aware of the effects of these. They can't not see them. If staff like myself are aware, and we have nowhere near the level of education as these doctors and specialists, and they're pushing these on, it's, and when you question them, you're shut down. It's a nightmare.
Okay, just one more inside example of somebody trying to tell the truth. I can't even imagine going to work every day in a hospital knowing all this and seeing people literally murdered, which is what's happening. These nurses know that remdesivir is a killer. We've heard them say it before, at least I have. They know. I don't know if all you've heard it, but it is absolutely bad news. It's big profit, big money, and that's all these hospitals seem to care about. Any comment on that? Then I'm going to read something real quick.
It's disturbing to say the least. I think we have to be approaching the breaking point where how can they keep this under wraps much longer?
No. That's why they're trying to get as many shot up as they can before the people just say no. I've lost three members of my family. My neighbors have lost two members. My other whatever people are dying all the time, and they're attributing it to other things than COVID to try to hide the number of COVID deaths. I don't think they're playing it straight in that regard. either way you look at it. So there's a nurse whistleblower for you. And it just continues to go on and on. But it can't go on and on because dead people leave enormous holes in the hearts and minds of families. They just don't forget. Those are the people that are going to have to stand up. And every time they say somebody is COVID positive, has COVID, I laugh. They don't have a test for it that'll work. Dr. Kerry Mullis. I'm going to play this. It's short, and it's Dr. Kerry Mullis explaining exactly why he thought the use of his PCR test that he got the Nobel Prize for should never be used to try to determine a clinical infection with anything like they're doing. So I'll pull this up. Okay. Let me pull it. I've got to advance this a little bit to 110. Okay.
I mean, for that matter, I don't care what the test is. One test is never enough.
No.
To make any, you know, life or death decision or critical decision, I'll say.
That's a good point. That's exactly what they're doing. These are life and death decisions, and in most cases, they get paid when somebody dies.
That's right. Right.
Here we go. This is Dr. Kerry Mullis, Nobel Prize winner, who invented the PCR test.
Dr. Kerry Mullis was awarded the Nobel Prize for his invention of the polymerase chain reaction, the PCR. The PCR is a method of analysis and wasn't designed to test for a virus. Mullis explains why.
And with PCR, if you do it well, you can find almost anything in anybody. It starts making you believe in the sort of Buddhist notion that everything is contained in everything else, right? I mean, because if you can amplify one single molecule up to something that you can really measure, which PCR can do, then there's just very few molecules that you don't have at least one single one of them in your body, okay? So that could be thought of as a misuse of it, just to claim that it's meaningful.
The PCR test can potentially find anything you are looking for, depending on how high you turn it up. And this is exactly what has been done. The official protocol given for the PCR testing of COVID-19 created a floodgate of false positives to skew the results. They call it asymptomatic because it's a lie. These people don't have symptoms because they don't have COVID-19.
This whole thing is a big sham.
The men at the highest levels were all in on it. Kerry Mullis knew these men were dangerous.
They don't want people like me walking up and asking them those kind of questions. And they're willing to, like, go to great lengths to prevent that. They're out on a limb.
But he was still outspoken. When ABC's Nightline approached him about doing a documentary on his work, not many people were listening back then. And on August 7th, 2019, just about 3 months before the first utterance of COVID-19, Kerry Mullis, age 74, a Nobel Prize winner, inventor of the PCR test, a man who was once willing and eager to expose Anthony Fauci, quietly died. The timing of it all is mysterious to many of us.
The timing of it is laughably convenient and disgusting. And they got him in the hospital with pneumonia. And once they get somebody in the hospital, they can take you out anytime they want. They don't even have to have you in the hospital. Let's be honest. They can take you out at distance anytime. Remember Boris Yeltsin, the president of the former Soviet Union? He was quite the alcoholic. He went out in front of the assembled press, international press, and he was drunk. And he says, we have a machine that can stop the heart of a goat from 300 meters away anytime we want. And that was in the early 70s, something like that, the mid-70s at the latest.
Mm-hmm.
So where they are now, they can do this with satellite, they can do it with airplanes, they can do it. Who knows? Maybe they can even do it through your computer screen. If they can broadcast at you frequencies, they can do anything because it's all about frequencies.
Indeed.
Now, I mentioned remdesivir. Let me read this. Anyone who goes in the hospital with and is pronounced to have COVID, and we know the test is completely bogus, and anytime you have a positive COVID diagnosis, you should say, prove it. Prove it. Not with a PCR test. It doesn't work. 95% false positives. So you're condemned. Which they've now admitted to. The CDC said the test is no good. They're going to dump it by the end of this month, and they're creating another test, is it?
Yeah, well, we got until December. They're going to use it until December. And right now they are...
It doesn't work.
It's beyond laughable at this point.
Right. All right, here. This issue of being pronounced COVID positive in the hospital, you have to sign a form giving them full power over you to do whatever they need to make you well and save your life. Well, you just signed your death warrant in many cases. If you get put on a ventilator, you got a 20% chance of coming off. That's it. And the nurses all know this, and many of you listening are professionals, and you know exactly what I'm saying is true. Here, remdesivir is added to an IV drip bag. They plug it in to a shunt in the tube. Okay, you need 2 IV drip bags a day with remdesivir impregnated into the saline solution. Remdesivir is a deadly narcotic. Now, not a narcotic. It's a pharmaceutical. It's a drug. It kills people. 2 bags a day. $4,000 per bag. Right? So, let me read this. I'll just read it. So, take into consideration a week of remdesivir at 2 bags per day. That's $128,000. $28,000. 1 week. Then add in the fact that it doesn't work because one of the side effects is respiratory distress. So now the poor sap is placed on a ventilator at the government rate of $40,000. Then add in a per day rate of $2,000 just for the bed. You got to pay for that bed, remember? Then every other medical discipline that shows up to treat the patient, depending upon what is being affected. So we're talking about respiratory therapists, neurologists, pulmonology, cardiology, infectious disease, nephrology, because the kidneys often fail and the people have to be put on dialysis machines. That government $40,000 is the tip of the iceberg. We're talking about a minimum of $150,000 for maybe a 2-week stay in the hospital if you get a false positive PCR response. Think about it. And many of the people, after being billed for $150,000 for 2 weeks, will leave the hospital in a hearse. No joke.
Yeah, it's happening. Yeah.
Talk about big profits. Are you running across people who are aware of the fact that the hospitals are in this for the money online? Is that being discussed?
Oh yeah, it's becoming common knowledge that you need to avoid the hospital right now. It's not a good place to be. If you go in, you might not come out.
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't and didn't, and I'm really concerned about younger people, these teenage boys who get myocarditis. Can you get myocarditis and have it lightly enough so you don't know it? You don't go into the hospital? You don't keel over? Is that, or is it a really a very significant disease?
No, you could sustain some degree of it and maybe be unaware of it.
And then you go in later with a weakness in your heart because it does do damage. Myocarditis.
Yeah, you'll end up with scar tissue.
Heart.
Yeah.
So you could end up going back in the hospital in 6 months or 6 years, and there's something wrong. You know there's something wrong. You can't climb stairs right anymore. You get winded easily and all that. That can be nutritional. I don't mean to tell all of you that and have you worry if you're running out of energy, because there are other ways you can run out of energy with this spike protein, etc. Give us a quick example. We're running out of time here, but how can the spike protein cause people to be fatigued? Anything come to mind?
Oh, well, maybe the mitochondria. These vaccines are damaging people's mitochondria. The spike protein and the coronavirus are known to do that.
And that's the engine in
your cell. Or just immune system exhaustion. I mean, the immune system is very metabolically demanding. So if you're churning out antibodies constantly to try to keep the spike protein under control, you know, you could be tired from that.
People don't think about that. The immune system is very demanding. It takes energy. And again, that's something that is just not thought about. All right. Very good. Okay, there's a little update for you tonight, and we'll keep watching it. And if you have anything you want to share with us, send it on in, and we'll work it into the program. All right. Thank you, Erica.
Thank you, Jeff.
Talk soon. Okay. Good night.
Good night.
And thanks to all of you for being here. We'll be back with you tomorrow night, Thursday already. Another week gone. Take care, prepare, and we will talk tomorrow.